Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to hear guys singing to the Lord. Real men sing. One guy jokingly said to me, "Real men drink black coffee, but real men sing." To the Lord. Amen. You know, one of the things that when we set up the Men's Day this year, the theme kind of hits home for us here in Elmira, because we were challenged this year a little bit in what we believed. You know, we had some folks that came in and just, it was challenging. It's good for us to be challenged, right? But we were challenged in whether we stand for the truth. Do we follow God's word? How committed are we to the word of God? To preach the gospel in no matter what the season is, without compromise. You know, and so that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's a challenge to us. You know, prior to that verse, Paul was speaking about our resurrection. Our resurrection being absolutely final, the defeat of death was there. Just an encouragement to us. And that following verse the verse prior to that says, in verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory over, so put this to rest, okay? Put this to rest that you have victory over sin and death. Because the battle has already been won. Christ has already paid the price. And now Paul comes with this verse. And he says, if that is true, if you sincerely believe that, if you're committed to that, right? He says, "Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." And anything that we're going to do beyond that, the works that we do, are not going to be in vain. If we're steadfast, if we're immovable. You know, and for us, it should be a challenge, right? That we would want to do that. And I think Paul doesn't... He says it in a certain order here. The progression is wonderful here, right? Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so when we look at that word steadfast, it's really a derivative of to sit. It's to sit. You know, when we think of steadfast, you know, some of the things that I loved what Karen did to the tables. I don't know if you, that wasn't my idea, of course, but she put those bricks and she, you know, certain words on those bricks and, you know, abide, you know, I love that word because it reminds me of what I should be doing with the Lord. I should be abiding in Him, right? And so there's certain encouragement to, and I challenge you today as you're eating, as you're filling your gut. Look at those things. Look at those words on those bricks. Because they really are foundational to us as men. Those things, you know. I think one of them was discerning. Boy, we need a lot of discernment in today's world. You know, we just do. There's a lot of heresy that goes around. But here's what that word there means. Steadfast means sit. You know, and hopefully when I read through these definitions, that one comes to mind to you that you can write down and you can just enjoy, right? And the Lord will settle you into that. But solidly based, well seated, morally fixed, firm in purpose, well stationed, securely positioned, not given to fluctuation, and moving off, and not moving off course. So often we have a tendency to move off course. We get tied up in ministry, or we get tied up in life, and we get very directional, and sometimes that's not the direction in which the Lord would have us to go, but we need to have our ears pointed toward heaven, right? We need to listen to the Lord. You know, when we look at Israel, and we just went through Judges, and anybody knows Judges, right? And it's taught it is a roller coaster ride, right? It's not the theme park that God had intended for Israel, but it turned out that it was a very fluctuating kind of relationship that they had with the Almighty God, and ups and downs, highs and lows, you know. And it was, you know, if you look through the whole Old Testament, what are we always facing? Israel and their disobedience, right, to the Lord. Israel's no different than we are, so don't get high and puffed up, right? Because we have our tendency of being just we're men of like passions, right? We have our days when we listen well, and most days we don't. Right? If you're anything like me, and my wife comes up to me and says, "Honey, didn't I tell you that we had this appointment today?" Well, you probably did, honey. And then I'll say, "Well, no, there's probably no probably about it. You did, and I done forgot it, you know, or I just wasn't paying attention, right?" And some of us don't pay attention. Most of us don't pay attention, most of the time, especially you, Mike. No, I'm just kidding. But if you look at Jeremiah, here he is. There's this warning that he's given the people of Israel. A warning against the impending destruction, right, of Jerusalem. They're in a sense, their prized city, because they had just polluted it. They had polluted it with their idolatry. And here's Jeremiah. We think of him as the weeping prophet, right? And we understand that because of what he goes through with Israel. And he just had a heart. Why was he weeping? Because I think he had a heart of God in him. He was a new creation. And God had taken his old heart and threw it away and gave him his own heart. And he had a heart of God for the people, right? He didn't want to see them be destroyed. He didn't want to see destruction in their lives. And if we have hearts, the men should have hearts of God, right? As we look at David, we often refer to him as not the perfect guy, but probably was the perfect guy, right? The one that always made the mistakes. But he always had the heart of God that came back, right? He was always magnetized by the Lord. He always was drawn in to the Lord, you know. So he just had this heart. And I want to look at one verse particular, and you probably know where I'm going. But I want to encourage you, you know, today, when you walk out of here, I want you to be encouraged to stay with the fight. I want you to be encouraged to stick with the truth, right? To not sway, to stay steadfast, to be immovable, right? And there's great benefit in that, right? Because, see, this is what happens. See, the world, and when I say world, sometimes I'm referring to the church today, tells us that we have to do certain thing to attract people into our churches or attract people to Jesus. Well, the attraction to Jesus is different than the attraction to things that are perishing around us. See, the Spirit of God is the one that draws. No man seeks God. God draws that man to himself. And it's a wonderful act of love that God has, that drawing in of a person. And so that we don't have to try to make it happen. We don't have to convince somebody that the gospel is true. We know the gospel is true. Right? We have to just obey. We just have to obey Him. And in that obedience, see, as we obey, something happens to our relationship with Him. The distance isn't so distant anymore. We're closer to Him. And as we continue to obey Him, we continue to draw closer to Him, and then we have the heart of God. You know, we start experiencing the heart of God because we're so close. It's like somebody, you know, the other day called me, and I was sharing with you about John, and John, a friend of ours from Xerox, had called me, and I picked up the phone and I recognized his voice because we had talked before, you know, and it was close. You know, now we hadn't talked for a year and a half, but I still knew his voice, you know. So if you're at a place even today where maybe you haven't been in the Word the way you should, maybe you haven't been spending the prayer time that you should, but if you're a child of God, you know His voice, and you better be listening. You better be listening to Him, because there is no other life outside of the relationship that we have with Christ. There is no life, right? The life that we used to live outside of Christ wasn't life. It was death. We're on this spiral. But you know, Jeremiah here had a heart for the people, and he wanted to draw them in. In chapter 6, verse 16. And so he gives them this, that really he got from the heart of God, because it says, Thus saith the Lord. It says, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. And unfortunately, it says, and they said, we will not walk in it. What were they saying? We know your standard, and we're in disagreement with your standard, Lord. We don't like it, and we're not going to do it. And God here is encouraging through Jeremiah, stand in the way. So when we look at stand in the way and see, that stand means to endure or take a stand. It speaks of a firm position that we hold. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference on how we respond to things. You know, if we understand where our position is, right? Whether it's on the good foundation, the bricks, or just the loose sand, we understand our foundation, and it either confirms that, hey, we stand here, or it tells us that we don't really have a stance at all, right? And we need to look at that and say, okay, where do we stand, Lord, in this world? Where's my stance in you? You know, I was thinking about this standing, and when we were courting, me and Karen, a few years ago. It'll be 25 this year, by the way. I'm excited. Yeah, she's a wonderful lady. Bride that the Lord gave me. But while we were approaching that time of getting married, we have many conversations, and I guess you guys could probably relate, where you'd sit down and say, well, how many kids do you want to have, right? Karen and I had the picture of two, and Karen had four. I guess she won, you know, since we got five. So, but it wasn't about winning. It was just about planning, right? You start to plan things together, you know, and we understood where each other stood before we said, I do. And we would talk about, well, if we do have kids, what will happen when we have kids? Well, honey, will you stay home with the kids? Because my desire was my wife would stay home and nurture my kids. And she said, yeah, when the time comes, she was teaching at the time, when the time comes, you know, I'll quit my job and I'll stay home with the kids. And that's how we did it. When we got married, that plan kind of went in action and we were in agreement. We understood where each other stood, you know. And we had a common foundation there. And so it's good to say, where do I stand? Where am I taking my stance today? And as we stand in these ways, these different, you know, it's like a child at an intersection, right? You take the child up to the intersection. What do? You say, honey, you need to look both ways, right? You need to look both ways and then up before you cross. You know, I want to make sure the light's red or the guy's waving you on to cross the road. You want to make sure because you want it to be safe, right? And so you've got this crossroads in which you're standing at. You understand where you stand in the Lord, and you have this crossroads. Can somebody just, whoever's talking out there, they can go downstairs or whatever. It's kind of disruptive. But you have this crossroads, and it's for our safety, right? That we look both ways, that we pay attention, that we understand where we stand. And then he says there, and see. So we're going to stand in the ways. We're going to see. We're going to observe, right? We're going to take notice of things, right? We're going to inspect. We're going to see what's coming down the roads, what's coming across the intersections. We're going to be that investigative kind of person, right? Paul would say to the Bereans, would call the Bereans, right? That he made note of them, right? In Acts there, because they searched the Scriptures daily. They spent time in His Word, right? So they were investigating. They were trying to find, okay, this is what the Lord would say. In that seeing there also, the third fold to that is consider. To think carefully. To think carefully about something, right? To think carefully about all these different ways and all these ways that are coming at you. All these different directions, different insights. You know, sometimes I think what we do is we turn on our radio, and because the guy is on the radio, we take his word for it. Right? That isn't what you're supposed to do. A Berean would go back and say, is this truth? Right? Is this truth? And where do we get truth from? Right? Well, of course, it says in the Scriptures that the word is truth. Right? So we go right back to the word and we figure out this guy's either online or he's off. And we determine it from the criteria in which we have been set before us. So it's important, you know, to consider, to evaluate, to investigate, you know, to inspect, to see, to observe. It goes beyond observing, is what I'm saying. It's something that we do as men, right? We're supposed to be ones that dig in the Word. We're supposed to be watering our brides. We're supposed to be the ones that are lifting up our families. We're like it or not, you're stuck in this position. You're stuck in this position. It can either be a curse or it can be a blessing. And most of the time it's determined by you, whether it's either or. The funny thing is that we often take more time in buying perishable items, considering, you know, that decision before we consider eternal. We consider perishable items. For example, we're thinking about buying a truck because I've been doing a lot of remodeling and stuff, and I use my vehicles as trucks, and they're really not trucks, you know. And so we've been pondering it, and we've been searching and trying to make the decision, right? We've been trying to ask the right questions. And sometimes I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, gee, Lord, if I only spent that much time investigating your word, if I digging into your word, that I do on these stupid items, right, that are just going to burn. It's all going to burn, folks. It's all going to be gone. And what are we putting our eternal, our time on? Is it eternal? You know? Why do we tell our kids to look both ways? Yet when we're at the intersection of our spiritual life, we're not looking both ways. We're not doing those things in which God has asked us as men to do. We're not providing a safe spiritual atmosphere for our family. Maybe for our church, we're allowing things to seep in. You know, this fluffin' nutter that comes in the church, and it tastes sweet and stuff, but it's very sticky and gooey, and it's and we allow it, you know. We allow it. And then Jeremiah would say, and ask for what? Ask for the old paths. You know, so many times we think the new thing is better. Oh, the old is so boring, and we act like adolescents, right? Oh, the old thing's so boring, and it's so mundane and outdated and useless to us. But Jeremiah would say, no, ask for the old paths. We often look at the Lord's way sometimes, and the church looks at them and says, they're semi-perishable. They're things that, well, we're going to change about that. We're going to change this about that. And we go through and we think that the Lord's ways are tarnished. Yet they're gold. They're precious, right? When we think anew, we think immediately, we think fresh, you know, refreshing. And it might be true for a moment in time, right? But those things that are developed in the flesh, number one, you have to, if you develop something in the flesh, you have to keep it breathing in the flesh, all right? And number two, they don't last very long, do they? They die off. Oh, now we got to have something else that's new, something more exciting than God's Word. We even find ourselves wondering, Lord, I don't see anything happening in this. We count the number of people that come to an outreach and we say, that didn't work because there was only 5 people there. You know, we had a spaghetti dinner not too long ago here. And it was an outreach, you know. We do things according to, hey, we're going to outreach. We planned for about 50 and we had 4 people, I think, show up from the community. We wanted the community to be drawn in. Some people would look at that as a failure, but it's not a failure if you did it in the Lord. Because remember what our verse there says, that if we are steadfast, if we're immovable, these things that we do are not in vain, right? But the requirement is that we be steadfast, that we prepare ourselves so we're immovable, so somebody can't come over and push us over, you know. That you want to take that wide stance, and you know, you on God's word, and you want to make sure that you're prepared for the battle. But don't be deceived by those things that are new, right? That just because they're new doesn't mean they're good, right? We just had a church here locally hire a helicopter last week, and they flew over their church and dropped eggs. Ridiculous. How many of those kids received the truth that day? Why? Because they wanted to draw the numbers in. They wanted to say they were successful by the numbers. God didn't use 30,000 men to defeat the Midianites. He used 300. And guess what? God was pretty successful, don't you think? So don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself to think that there's got to be something new. There's got to be more excitement. We've got to add to the Word in order for it to make people believe it. We need to fit it into the science. But see, these old paths, they're called old paths not because they're outdated, because they're well-traveled. They're well-traveled. They're well established. They've been proven over time. Over time. We can stand on the Word of God. They are the righteous paths of Noah. They are the faithful paths of Abraham. They are the diligent and steadfast paths of Joseph and Daniel. They are the paths of repentance of David. These are the paths that these men walked upon, that God has asked us to walk upon. They are a path of no compromise, as we see King Josiah take over rule and dismiss the idols there. And the Lord would, in His sight, it says there in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 2, it says He didn't turn aside to the right or to the left. He was focused. I think the men of the church need to be focused on the Lord. And those are the old paths. The old paths that He's asked us to take. So often do we say to people, or have had it said to us, you know, Fred, you just need to trust your heart in this. Right? Well, Jeremiah would get to that in chapter 17, right? That the heart is deceitful above all things. Us left on our own is a path to destruction. That's our path. That's the path. But the path that leads to life is through Jesus. Relationship with Him. It would go on and say in that verse, who can know the heart? Verse 10, it says, I the Lord search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Solomon would say in chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 5, you're familiar with this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Right? And I guarantee you, your path will be directed on the old path. The ones that He has created, the ones that people have traveled well on. You know? Are you acknowledging God in all your ways? That's a challenge to us. You know, sometimes we think of the Lord this way. And we've said it often, right? Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Right? Nothing's too hard for the Lord. But sometimes I think that we don't realize that nothing's too small for Him either. That He needs to be involved in every aspect of our lives. Just because we go to work in a secular place doesn't mean that we leave God on the shelf until we get home. Right? No, we seek opportunities to share Him with others. I wonder if we forget the urgency, the time in which we live. All the turmoil in the Middle East that's happening today. It seems like the pot's boiling. And we need to have urgency, guys. We need to have urgency with our families. We need to have urgency with our friends. We need to have urgency. And these old paths are good paths. Their good way is, and he encourages them to walk in it. And I think in these old paths, there's a hidden treasure. These old paths that the Scripture talks about leads us to this hidden treasure. And if you compromise, and you take the new paths, guess what you don't get? You don't get the hidden treasure. And the hidden treasure is this: rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. So much turmoil today in the family, in people's lives. Why? They have no rest. Why? Because they've decided on their own, men, to not take the old paths. They create a new path. There are those people that, in a new frontier, that would mow down the weeds and hack down the little bushes. They're creating their own path. And they lead to nowhere. We know where the old paths lead. Right? We're led down those paths by the Lord, and they really lead to rest for our souls. And it's not about us. It's about our relationship with the Lord. See, the rest for the soul allows us to have intimacy with God. Right? Matthew 11, if you want to turn there. We're going to read a few verses out of Matthew 11. Verse 25 through 30, very familiar to you. But just a refresher here, a reminder. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes." Why are they hidden? Because they're on the wrong paths. They're taking the wrong paths. They're not on the old paths that the Lord has given them. But they've devised their own because of why? Because they're wise. "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Come to me, a great invitation from the Lord. Come to me. All you who labor, all you that feel fatigued, you're tired. You're heavy laden. You're just loaded with burdens. God said, come to me. And I, obviously Jesus, will give you rest. That rest, by implication, is really to refresh. And a lot of us have come here today to get refreshed. We want to get, it's good to get out of Dodge for a little while. Come down to Elmira and get some refreshment, right? To get refreshed. This is what Jesus says: "Take my yoke upon you," which means join me, right? Join me, and it doesn't mean temporarily, it means to be solidly joined. And what's the yoke that allows us that relationship with Jesus? I think it's His Word. I think it's His Word. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1 through 3, I'll just read it to you. "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. And my law is the apple of your eye," the very center, right, of your eye. The one that focuses on it, right? I'm going to focus right on that word. "Bind them to your fingers," so often we leave home without it, don't we? and write it on your tablets of your heart. We don't have to leave the Word of God anywhere other than our hearts. And how do we write it upon our hearts but spending time in the Word and reading the Word? The more you read, the more it penetrates that hardness of heart that we have. In other words, what we're supposed to be yoked to is God Himself, His Word. We're supposed to be yoked. That's what directs us, right? We all know the story of the yoke and the ox, right? If you're being led by a dumb ox, you're going to go to dumb places, right? But if Jesus is the one that you're tied to, that you're yoked to, you're going to go to some good places. You're going to stay on the good old paths. You're going to be in the Master's hand, in His fold. And it really, you know, when you're in the yoke with Jesus, how close to you are you? As close as the yoke brings you, right? And the Word of God is living, right? The Word of God is something that gives us life and it actually draws us into the Lord, right? Because we get to know Him, right? We get to be intimate with the God of the universe. But when He's so tied to us, look at the intimacy there that Jesus describes here when we take upon us His yoke, when we are allowing Him to direct our paths. And learn from me. In other words, do what I say. Obey. Do as I do. I'm your example. Do as I do. Be Christ-like. Right? For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find what? Rest. You'll find peace and rest in your soul, for your soul. For my yoke is easy, or it's useful. It's useful. What's it useful for? It's useful to keep us intimate with Jesus. And that's why we're here today. We're here to become intimate with Jesus. You know, you could have came for the wrong reason. You could have thought you've been here before and you've smelled the food since the last time you were here, right? And the food is always good, always enough. But this is what we've come for. We don't want to take away from the Word of God. We want to take the Word of God. We want to write it upon our hearts. We want to have an intimacy that perhaps we've never had before. We want men to walk out of here changed, like Aaron said this morning in his prayer. We want you changed. We don't like necessarily the way we look. We don't like the appearance that we appear before the Lord. Right? We want to be changed. We want to be changed into His likeness. Not what Fred wants you to look like, but what Jesus wants you to look like. The treasure here, the hidden treasure, is resting in the Lord. Having that wonderful intimacy with the Lord. We need to take the Word of God and we need to bind it to our fingers. We need to write it on our hearts. We need to take it with us. And these old paths are all defined in this old book. And it will lead us. It will lead us into a wonderful relationship with our Lord Jesus. All right? Well, let's pray and then Bob's going to come up and share. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love for us, Your desire for us to be intimate with You, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we go through this day, that each one of us would yearn, Father, to be closer to You, to desire Your Word, to feed on Your Word more than any other food that we could partake in today, Lord, that Your Word would be the one thing that we just want to devour, Lord, that we want to take in, that we want to draw closer to You, Lord. Father, do a work in our hearts today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.